As the season opens at Tanglewood, we speak to a man who not only is keeping the plate spinning here, he also has an eye on Boston and even working on programming for future years there and here at Tanglewood.
One of our all-time favorites, Tony Fogg, has been artistic administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra since 1994 and assistant music director in the planning and selection of all BSO concerts and repertoire.
Pianist in training, Fogg has been...
By training. Oh, so sorry.
No, in training. Yes, he's in training. And the word on the paper is bi, but I didn't see it because...
Yeah, you didn't see it.
That's that line between the bifocals. I apologize. Tony Fogg, welcome to the roundtable. It's wonderful to have you here.
It's great to be here, as always. Thank you, Joe. Hello, Alan.
Thank you so much. You come into a season like this, you look at opening night. Normally, we are here on opening night, but because of where the holiday falls, we're here 2 days before. So are you more or less crazed today than you will be on Friday?
Well, look, for me, this is a relatively straightforward season, and I say that with some caution because that's always tempting the gods, but... If you remember last year, we had two major gala events to prepare and execute in the course of the summer. One was for the 75th anniversary, and then the second was for John Williams' 80th birthday. So by comparison, this is sort of business as usual, but business as usual for Tanglewood is, of course, a pretty busy and intense array of concerts that we have to produce. And so I'm certainly looking forward to having the orchestra play that first concert. It's perhaps not as daunting the things that are coming up to us over the next few weeks.
The orchestra is always reviewed. Are you ever reviewed? In other words, does anybody ever write and say, you know, Tony Fogg orchestrated this whole thing, and he should have played the Mahler on the fourth outing or whatever? I mean, do you...
Well, I'm always the silent partner in all of this. You know, only the names change to protect the innocent, as they say. So sort of basically everything that I do is constantly being reviewed, and thankfully I'm not so often identified as being the person behind it. But
that's a good gig. That's good for you.
Yeah,
we want that.
But obviously I'm always interested to see what the critics and bloggers and responders on the blogs say about our programming. It's a useful feedback for me, and we can always build on that for the future.
But aren't there some people who are just a pain in the rear? I mean, we certainly have a few of them.
There are some people who have their pet subjects, whether it be, you know, it may be some area of somewhat lesser known obscure repertoire or a particular period that they think we should be giving more prominence to. And, you know, I think my job is to make sure that in the course of a season, we have a good balance and enough that's going to appeal to a broad enough public.
Now, you have a new artistic director coming in.
Music director. Yes.
And I saw in our little introduction that we referred to you as his associate. You help him. But in fact, he's off doing things all over the world, so you still have a hell of a gig.
Yes, I work hand in hand with the music director and with Mark Volpe in basically putting together the seasons, and my job is sort of to keep the engine ticking over and make sure that everything that's planned is executed and comes out the right way. We're just starting the process of working with Andres Nelson.
So what's that process like? Do you sit down with him at a table at some point and say, what is your view of how the season should go?
Sometimes. It's a matter of, I always say it's like putting together a big jigsaw puzzle. Mm-hmm. You get some of the major pieces in place fairly early, and then you very, very gradually fill out the rest of the detail. And you know, unlike doing a jigsaw puzzle, where on the side of the box you can see what the final thing has got to be, you don't quite know where a season is going to really end up on some occasions. So it's a matter of tossing around ideas, talking about what we've done recently, what we think has been successful either here or at Tanglewood or at Boston, making sure we've got a good mix of styles and periods, that there's enough standard repertoire, that we have a good mixture of new music, commissioned work, and so on. So It's very much a dialogue, and that's one of the most enjoyable and most exciting parts of my job.
But there are moments of terror for you. A guy busts his leg on the other side of the pond, and he can't be here, and you have to find, with, you know, 24 hours less sometimes, somebody to stand in.
Yes, that's the really challenging part of my job, I will admit. And when you have a cancellation, you have to stop absolutely everything else and just deal with it. We've had some really tight calls over the years. Maybe the tightest was when we lost a soprano for the Missa Solemnis of Beethoven at 1 o'clock on the day of the first performance.
Whoa.
And the only appropriate substitute we could find was in St. Louis. And so we got her to the stage door by about 8:05 that night. And
did
she
you have to send a plane and all?
We had to do a few magic tricks, yeah, to get her there.
Wow.
But it's always something that I have to think about. We, in terms of conductors, we of course have two wonderful assistant conductors who are with us all the time, ready. They've prepared the repertoire. They've observed all of the rehearsals. So in an emergency situation, there we have a conductor who is ready to go on.
That's how Bernstein got started in New York.
That's right, with Bruno Volta, yes. And we have two fantastic, Marcelo Leninger and Andris Porger, coincidentally another Latvian, and they're very talented young guys, and they're here covering all of the repertoire.
So going back to what you were talking about with Alan about the about working on the season and bringing this together, I'm curious as to, given that you have a new conductor now, how much is he part of that process? How much was already in the works? Because obviously his conductor has quite a hand in this.
Yes, well, he will be, his first season is the 14-15 season. And I must say, I've been juggling a lot of elements in that season for some time until an appointment was made. So we have many of the guest conductors already in place, and I had been tentatively holding some weeks for a music director. So now that's all settled, we'll get into the real work solidly. And I think 14-15 will be a slightly unusual season because Andris won't have been involved in the planning right from the beginning, but thereafter there will be more of his thumbprint on the planning.
How were you involved in the choice?
Uh-huh. Good question, Joe.
Of the music director?
Yes.
Well, I was a member of the search committee, which consisted of five musicians, five board members, Mark Volpe and myself. I played a sort of administrative role in the sense of providing a lot of information about the conductors that we'd had, we were seeing in the future, gave feedback. And of course, you know, conductors is my business. You know, it's knowing who's around and knowing what the talent is and what their availabilities and strengths and commitments, et cetera, et cetera. That's the sort of professional information that I have to be, you know, have at my fingertips. So,
and you've worked with him in the past?
Yes, we worked with him. Interestingly, he came as a last-minute substitute for James Levine for a concert at Carnegie Hall. So Andris's first concert with us, surprisingly, was not in Symphony Hall or at Tanglewood, but at Carnegie Hall. So it's a pretty good way to begin.
That's impressive.
And then, of course, he was here last summer for the 75th Gala and then at Symphony Hall. And I've known him for some years before that. So we have a reasonably long relationship for a young conductor. He's only 34. And
can I just ask about that? Because it seems to me that there are many, many, many good things about that, but also, I mean, that is just one of a host of things that you're looking at when you're looking to fill that position.
I think the fact that he's young is a bonus rather than one of the qualities that we were actually looking for. We were looking for great musical chemistry with the Boston Symphony, and we absolutely have that.
Yeah.
The performances have been sensational. He has some vibrancy, some translucence about the sound that he gets, which is absolutely unique. And that's the sign of a great conductor. The fact that he's got wonderful human qualities, that he's young, enthusiastic, lots of energy, that he's incredibly well regarded in Europe, they're all bonus factors.
Which you had with Keith Lockhart, too, a very young conductor.
Well,
when he came to
that's the right. Keith was, when he came to the Pops, he was known in certain circles, but we had to do a good job to try and introduce him to the public, and I think that worked very well.
And also, you know, you get to mold him a little bit, don't you?
Well, it's we all relationships about growing together, and it's it'll be not only on a sort of working basis with us, but certainly Andres getting to know the BSO better, and they're getting to know his. It'll be fascinating to watch this, and I look forward to having a conversation with you about this in, you know,
next year.
Well, yes, a year after.
Yeah, a couple of years down the line.
For as long as I'm able to stay around.
Yeah, well, you've been around the world many times. I hope everybody got the around the world.
Yeah.
Well,
I was waiting for it, yeah.
And obviously, you've got to know where everybody is at every moment. It's like a baseball manager looking for talent at first base. You know, somebody's going to have tendonitis. You've got to get somebody to come in.
It's thankfully, it's a much easier job nowadays with the internet, because a lot of artists have their own websites. You're able to pretty quickly track down where anyone is at any time. And it's interesting, you know, there's all of this talk about the classical music business being in crisis and people giving up, you know, not interested. There's a lot of stuff goes on around the world. Artists are incredibly busy. There are concerts taking place everywhere on every level. That, to me, contradicts this general...
Well, I have a question for you then. How much does it cost to have a great conductor come in at the last minute?
Something that is consummate with their fee and the effort that they have made to get there.
That's what I was sort of talking. I mean,
you make it worth their while.
Could it be $50,000 to show up?
I'm not good, Alan. Come
oh,
on.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't need to go there. Not much.
but another word. Well, all right. We'll end that. But maybe at the point, they ultimately. I assume that comes up later in the conversation.
Does that ever?
Too, right?
Do you have a handle? In other words, do they ever say, "Okay, you know, we need you very badly," and they say, "Okay, how much?" And
look,
you say,
"That yeah. That's never an issue. We pay appropriate to the the professional stature, and if we need to reflect the nature of the engagement, we'll do so in whatever it be way that it is."
Do you get to? And that's not a huge part of your job. The money. Aspect,
It's a part of it. Yes, yeah. You know, we have to work very hard to balance the budgets here. We've got some challenges, and certainly the budget that I deal with is substantial part of the overall budget of the organization. So, negotiation and business skills are one of the things that I have to.
How many years in advance?
Well, good question. Actively, 3 to 4 years.
Wow.
But looking further out, we have commissions, which are probably the furthest elements, the furthest out in terms of planning. And sometimes they can be 6 or 7 years away, because composers are very busy. It often takes them a long time to create a new work. And if they're among the top composers in the world, they're much sought after, and their books are filled with commitments. So, but actively about 3 to 4 years. So I have plans pretty well in place for 14-15. I have many of the conductors in place for 15-16 season, and a little beyond that.
Whoa.
When you we were talking to Vince Gill earlier, he's going to be a guest with Keith Lockhart and the Boston Pops on Sunday afternoon, and that was they were together in Boston earlier this year. So you planned that gets planned together?
No, I don't have much role in the planning of the Boston Pops concerts beyond film night, which traditionally John Williams and I have more or less, you know, worked on together with, you know, input from others since he started doing those, which is about a dozen more years ago. But the Pops concerts per se, I have a wonderful colleague, Dennis Alves, who's my counterpart with the Pops, and he works with Keith and the other Pops conductors to come up with the programs. My job in that case is to find the date within the schedule where it fits in with everything else. It's a good balance of timing and the commitments of the Boston Symphony, but the actual nuts and bolts of a Pops program, and I frankly don't have enough expertise in the repertoire. It's not an area that I know a great deal about.
But the specific question of what plays in Boston, I mean, does that have a role in what you will program here, in the sense of, do you look and say, well, this we'll do this in Boston, and then we'll do this perhaps this summer?
Yeah,
and
look, certain key programs and key works that we do in the winter season, we try to bring to Tanglewood for practical reasons, and that's to do with the workload of the orchestra, and also that we've already invested a great deal artistically in preparing a work, and we want to have the opportunity to share it with audiences here. But, you know, ultimately, we have a very large venue in the Kuzovitsky Music Shed. The festival has grown to the point where there are typically 3 BSO programs over 8 weeks, 3 BSO programs per weekend over 8 weeks. So we have a big venue, and we need big audiences. And so somehow we have to find the balance in all of those repertoire choices that are going to address the interests of the public and be, from a practical point of view, achievable by the orchestra in the available rehearsal
time. Have you been surprised by the results? I know that's a broad question, but, you know, you do something and you say, oh, this should work, and then something either terrible or wonderful happens.
Yes, I can't give you specifics, but there have been occasions where it's been a program that I thought would have been a surefire here, and for whatever reason, and sometimes it's weather, or, you know, it hasn't quite worked. But, you know, for me, the measure of a good success is if there's a program that we've put together that I think has, you know, integrity about it, touches one's intellectual curiosity, that the orchestra is able to perform very well, that the artists feel that they're giving of their best, and we have a full house. For me, I tick that off as a successful night.
Do you ever get angry?
I get annoyed with myself about a lot of things.
Well, yeah, forget about yourself. How about others?
No, there's no point getting angry. It's
we're going to end there. Tony Fogg is the artistic administrator of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. You don't seem like you could ever get... You're easygoing.
I keep trying.
For more information on Tanglewood, another 5 minutes, maybe we'd see that side of him. The BSO, it is amazing work. Go to tanglewood.org. Tony Fogg, you're great. Thank you very much.
Great pleasure to be here.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.